Thank you. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. We are in the New Testament portion of Isaiah, the last 27 chapters, and now in the 41st chapter of Isaiah 41, and we're going to look to verses 10 and 11, but we'll be dealing with the entire chapter. Let's read from verse 10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish." And God blesses the reading of his word with you. Join with me as we pray. Father, everyone listening has a need. I pray, God, that you will use your Holy Spirit to touch our need, Father, and give us what we need today to draw closer to Jesus. Help us to learn to walk with you. Help us to learn to serve you. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you noticed everybody seems a little keyed up? Have you noticed where you go that people seem to be stressed? Maybe you've been stressed. Maybe you're stressed now. If you're not stressed now, wait a little bit. Stress comes. And one of the things that I hear so often is people saying, "I am so stressed." But actually they say, "I'm stressed out." The direction is always out. They're never stressed in. They're always stressed out. But the reality of stress is the pressure is on the inside. It really is not on the outside. But when we say I'm stressed out, we're not wrong. Because it's not what we meant, but the stress that we feel coming in on us doesn't stay in us. When it is in us and we are stressed, we let it out and it affects those people who are around us. And so we, in a very real sense, we send stress out to others. When you hear somebody say, I'm stressed, you may, if you're in the South, and we are, and if you are a true Southerner, and most of you are, you're going to ask, and you shouldn't. You really shouldn't. What's stressing you? If you ask that question, you're going to get an answer. They're going to tell you, my husband, my wife, my mom, my dad, my kids, oh, my teenagers. They're going to tell you it's their job. It's their boss. You know, some people pray that one day they'll gain a spot where they'll have people under them and they'll have a staff. With a staff comes staff infection. And so you have your boss or you have your staff and your finances. You know, it would be easier to tell somebody what's not stressing you than to tell them the list of what is stressing you. But if you give them the chance, they'll try. We are in a world full of stress. And you know, there are some people that are stressed because they don't have as much stress as they used to have. If you live on planet Earth, I am convinced there will be stress in your life. In fact, I think everybody has a stress level, and that stress level pretty much stays constant. It's what keeps you up, keeps you moving, and there's some kind of stress level for all of us. But when stress overcomes us, it takes hold. And sometimes we say things. There's some expressions given from people who have stress. Maybe you've not heard these exact things, but you've heard things like them, and you know there's stress there. Errors have been made. Others will be blamed. I'm just working here till I can find a job sweeping streets. I'm not crazy. I'm just in a bad mood that's lasted for the last 20 years. Is it time for your medication or mine? Chaos, panic, disorder. Yep, my work here is done. Stress is tied to fear. And it comes in the root of something that we're afraid of. It comes into our lives when we're in danger of losing something. It could be anything. Our wealth, our health, our reputation. It could be our position, our safety, a family member, our friends. When we're in danger of losing something that we think is precious to us, there is stress. And if you're a sports fan and your team starts to lose and it looks like they're going to lose, there is stress. In 1933, the United States was still dealing with the Depression. There was a man running for office named Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He ran a very positive campaign. He was very uplifting. He was very jovial, very humorous. He talked a lot, and people liked to hear him talk, but the things that he didn't say is what he was going to do. Sounds like modern politicians, except for the fun part. And then he became president. And in his inauguration, it was obvious that the weight of the world was upon him, and he understood the gravity that he was under. And these are his words. I am certain that my fellow Americans expect that on my induction to the presidency, I will address them with candor and a decision which the present situation of our people impel. This is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. Nor need we shrink from honestly facing conditions in our country today. This great nation will endure as it has endured, will thrive and will prosper. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. Well, he kind of balled it up, and most of you have heard that, the only thing we have to fear segment, over and over again. But fear is something that is real. It is something that takes our lives and something that builds our stress. The way to combat fear is found in putting your trust in Almighty God. Fear and faith just don't go together. They're not good companions. In fact, fear reveals a failing flaw in your faith. 74 times in the Bible, we are told, fear not. 3 times in this very passage, we are told, fear not. Now, you don't have any control over stress coming into your life. I'm sorry, you just cannot deal in such a way that you will have no stress. But how you deal with the stress itself is different. If you are living, there will be some stress level. Now, fear is different. God says, fear not. God would not tell you not to fear if he did not give you the ability not to fear. I'm not speaking in fear of being startled. I'm not speaking of somebody jumping out and saying, boo! I am speaking of an overwhelming dread that takes you out of God's will, and you stop believing, and you are so overcome with your fear and stress that you just are a shadow of what God wants you to be. So how do we do it? How do we manage our stressful lives so that we don't lose our faith to fear? Well, realize God is present. In verse 10, Fear you not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. When stress presses in, we often feel like we're the only one stressed. We often feel like we're alone in this. We often feel like there's nobody else that knows what I'm going through but me, and it is greater than I can deal with, and we feel that we can't handle it because we're not capable. And fear is born. Loneliness. A lot of lonely people. Loneliness is a great problem. Hey, when you're lonely, you know, seek out church. Seek out worship. Seek out Sunday school. Seek out other believers. If it's during the week, determine that you're going to go to a nursing home or a care home, and you're going to try to brighten somebody else's day. God can use that. The most lonely people on the planet, according to the Council of American Insurance, is college students. College students can't wait to get away, can't wait to be on their own, can't wait to try out this new way of freedom. And they find out a lot of times they're by themselves. And loneliness presses. Next, there's divorced people. Then welfare recipients. Then single moms. Then housewives. Then the elderly. It's not new. Several years ago, in the Kansas City newspaper, for you that don't know, that is a sheet of paper that's kind of big, and it has printing on it that tells you the news of the day. It's an amazing thing. I wish they'd bring them back. In the Kansas City newspaper, a woman took an ad, and in her ad, she says, I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes for $5. Now, you know this was a few years ago, because if it was today, it would be at least $30. But I will listen to you. I will not make any comment for $5. Now, this person was not playing around. In fact, she reported receiving 20 calls a day on average. Many people feel alone and don't have anybody to talk to. Listen, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have invited Him into your heart, I want you to understand this. He is present with you. You will never, ever be alone. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I have been with many people as they have gone into surgery, and there is something that's very lonely about being wheeled away. And they wheel you through these doors, and it's about 30 degrees. You know, it's always cold. And so they take you away from everybody you know, and everybody around is wearing masks. And it's a fearful thing. What do you do when there's no one around to reach out to feel comfort from? Well, you turn within if you have Jesus. And you can talk to Jesus. You can tell Him all about your concerns and share with Him what your desires are, and He knows where you are and He cares. In Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be of good courage, be strong, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wheresoever you go. Not only is God with the believer, He says, be not dismayed, for I am your God. Listen, it's a blessing to realize God is present. And I'm glad God is present. But it's a whole nother level to realize that God is on my side. God isn't against you, believer. God is for you. God is on your side. Now, when I was a wee lad of a boy, we had television. And in that television, if you wanted to change channels, there were only three channels, but you could go and you could flip a switch and you get another channel. You had to do that on the TV. You couldn't do it on any other side. If you wanted another channel, you turned the knob. If you wanted the third channel, you went outside to your antenna pole and you turned the pole. Now, in those days, the most popular television shows were Westerns. Westerns were known by guys that got on horses, and they had boots, and they had cowboy hats. Good guys, white hats. Bad guys, black hats. And one of the most popular television series of the day was The Lone Ranger. Any of you ever see The Lone Ranger? I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about the television show. Now, The Lone Ranger had his white hat. The Lone Ranger had his white horse. The horse's name was Silver, yes. And it was always great to see that horse go up on its hind legs, the Lone Ranger on it, and he would say, "Hi-ho, Silver, away!" But the Lone Ranger wasn't alone. In spite of what his name was, he wasn't alone. He had a companion. He had a pal, a buddy, a teammate. And that teammate was an Indian scout named Tonto. So you can imagine the Lone Ranger in a situation. He always got into situations and he always won. It's just always happened. But there's a story that one time the Lone Ranger was in a really bad situation. There were hostile Indians in front of him. There were hostile Indians to the side of him and to the other side of him and behind him. Hostile Indians were everywhere. And he turned to Tonto and he says, "Tonto, what are we going to do?" And Tonto said, "What do you mean we, Paleface?" And he was indicated, "I'm with you, but I'm not on your side. I want you to know my God is all powerful. My God is all loving. My God is all caring. And my God is for me. And if you have Jesus as your Savior, God is for you. He is my God. He wants my best and yours." In 1 Samuel 30, David had been distressed, and so he wanted to get close to God. And so he spent time getting close to the Lord. And as he drew close to the Lord for 30 days, he was lifted up and he was encouraged. If you want to stand away from stress, if you want to deal with it, if you want to deal away from fear, get closer to God. Seek Him out. Get in His Word. Be faithful in God's house. Allow God to speak to you, to teach you, to challenge you, to grow you. And notice who He's speaking to. He's not speaking to just anybody here. In Isaiah 41:10, "I am your God." He's speaking to His children. Now, God loves everybody, but if you don't have God as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are disconnected to the God who loves you. And so the help that is there by Him being present doesn't apply to you. You need Jesus. You need to surrender to Him and allow Him to control your life. And He will be there for you if you do. A little boy climbed up a tree, and as the little boys do, he got up to a branch. He got out on the branch, and he looked down, and he found out he didn't like being up the tree. So he clung to the tree. His friends kept telling him, "It's okay. You got up there. You can come down." But no, no. He clung to the tree. They tried everything. He wouldn't budge. His dad looked out and saw what was happening and came out to his son and reached up to the limb, grabbed his son and said, "It's okay, son, I've got you." And that little boy let go of that tree and he let go of all of his fear because he knew his dad had him. Christian, instead of you shrinking in the stress, instead of you going down the drain of the fear, God's got you. He will care for you. He is your God. The Lord our God has us. And if you're saved, he not only has you for today. Listen to John 10:28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He not only has you, he will have you forever. He will not ever let you go. He will not ever turn away from you. That means the same God that can forgive your sins, who has defeated death, hell, and the grave, who will open heaven for you, holds you in his hands to care for you right here, right now. 2 Corinthians 10:10. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for in Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is Paul. He had so many difficulties in his life, but he had learned so much to hold on to God that when the difficulty came, he said, wow, can't wait for God to deal with this one. And he had peace in the middle of difficulty. God supplies us with grace to strengthen us. He can get us through what we face, whatever it may be. Verse 10, I will help you, yea, I will uphold you. The Bible says when we are so overcome that we don't know what to pray, and there are those times. If you haven't been there, then you've been very fortunate. But there are times when the weight is so heavy that you're just kind of frozen and you don't know what to pray, and the Bible says, I got you. The Holy Spirit prays for us. I don't know what to pray. God's Holy Spirit knows what to pray, and so he prays for me. Listen, if God will help you pray, he will help you with your day. Do not fear, because no matter what, believer, God is with you. Realize God is present. And then rely on God's protection. Rely in God's protection. Verse 11, behold, all they that were incensed against you shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they shall strive with you and perish. Judah didn't have to fear because God was going to take care of their enemies. Assyria was great, yes. Babylon was great, yes. But Judah had to understand God was greater. My friend, when you are sinking under fear and sinking in distress, you need to understand, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Three Jewish boys told to bow down to an idol. They would not bow down, and they were thrown into a fiery furnace. They went into that furnace trusting God. So guess who met them in the fire? God himself. Four in the fire. I believe that fourth one was none other than Jesus, a pre-incarnate vision of Jesus. And he was there with them. He saw them and was with them and got them out of the fire. Listen, they weren't even singed. Their clothes weren't even burned because they were in the care of Almighty God. There was Daniel. Daniel's enemies sought to bring him down. What was his problem? He prayed. You know, the people get all upset if you pray in the name of Jesus. Well, Daniel prayed, and because he prayed, they wanted him punished. And so they set him up, and he prayed. He didn't back off from praying. He prayed. What did they do to him because he prayed? They threw him in the lion pit. Oh, they thought Daniel was done. They thought he was just, kitty chow. They thought that he would be gone, and that was the end of Daniel. But what they didn't know, Daniel's God did not leave him. Daniel's God closed the mouths of those lions, and Daniel went free. God handled Daniel's enemies and Daniel's foes. The fire could not get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The lions could not get Daniel. Pharaoh's army could not get the Israelites. Goliath could not get David. The prophets of Baal could not get Elijah. And hot boiling oil could not get the Apostle John. I am convinced that a believer walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ, trusting Him, is invincible in God's protection until it's time for us to go to glory. Rely on God's protection. Then rest in God's provision. Verse 14. I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. In verse 13, it says that the Lord will hold our hand. I don't know if you can remember having a time when you reached up to grab your parents' hand and you held their hand. There's something that's special about the hand of a child and a parent. That child knows that they're okay with the parent's grasp. That child knows that if there's a need and danger, that parent can jerk them into safety. That parent will guide them exactly where they need to go. They have the parent's hand. And all the way through, they are safe because that parent has them, and that hand will care for them, and that hand will protect them, and that hand will see them through. That hand is ready to provide whatever they need in case they need it. We do not have to fear because, my friend, if you got Jesus, He's got you in His hand. God will keep you. He will never leave you. He will not drop you. His hand is stronger than you are. He is there no matter what the circumstances you are in. But Brother Jerry, you don't know what I'm dealing with. No, I don't. But He does. And He can handle it if you give Him a chance. Notice verse 14. Do not fear, you worm Jacob. That doesn't sound very complimentary. It's not very uplifting to be called a worm. A worm is kind of the lowest creature that you can think of, just swiggling and on the ground. But you know, if you're comparing yourself to Jesus, and you know that you're a sinner, what are we but worms? What are we but a crawling, swiggling worm because of our sins? Our sins devalue us. Isaac Watts wrote a song, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred hand for such a worm as I?" You know, when they rewrote the Baptist hymnal, they got to that song and the editors said, "Well, you know, that's not kind of nice. Let's change that." And so they changed it. They changed it to "Sinners Such as I." They didn't realize that Isaac meant what Isaac wrote because he got it from Isaiah and it's in the Bible. And if God calls us a worm, it's okay for a song to call us a worm. And you know what? The word "sinners" he might have thought was better, but it is what designates us as just a worm next to God. God, in His love, in His power, provided a redeemer for someone who is worth less than a worm. Me. My sin My sin takes me out of God's desires. My sin pushes away all that God has for me. My sin only leaves me open to this world of stress and danger and difficulties. Oh, but he gives me a redeemer. And if I will come to Jesus and I will give him my sin, he will forgive my sin and he will lift me up. And so that lowly worm becomes a servant of Almighty God, and he brings you into his family. And so now you're not a worm, you're a child of the King. Amen. What are you going to do with stress? Realize God is present. Remind yourself of it. Rely on God's protection. He's got you. And then rest in God's provision. Whatever you got, he can supply. Whatever you need, whenever you need it, he has it. But if you don't know Jesus, if you've never given him your heart, if you've never surrendered to God for him to be your God, you're on the outside of this help. And so today, you need to reach out to Jesus. You need to accept him as your Savior and Lord. You need to invite him to come into your heart. You need to follow him in believer's baptism. Why be baptized? God told his children to be baptized. Because it shows what God has done for you. You go under the water, it shows that he died for you because you can't breathe underwater. You come up out of the water, you breathe, it's a sign that he has come into you. And that simple thing shows others that you are a believer. And it honors God. What decision will you make for Jesus? If you're a believer, you know, just start trusting him more. Let the stress go. Don't let it control you. Don't sink into fear that is not faith. And trust him for the victory, because it's coming. If you don't know Jesus, come to know him. If you know him and need a church home, well, come and just say, I want to be part of the church. If you need Jesus, come and say, I want Jesus. Maybe you're a believer and you've gotten out of step. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and say, God, forgive me. I want to rededicate my life to you. God calls you. You can let the stress go. You can be safe in his hands. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask that you would move within our hearts, draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, for everyone that is lost, I pray that they would know they can come to you right now and be saved. For those, Father, that have made a decision in their heart, but they've never made it public, Father, give them the courage just to step forward and say, I want to make a public profession of faith. I want to tell people that I'm saved. They don't have to say anything out loud, Father. They just have to stand making that declaration. Father, for believers that have gotten away from you, that today would be a day of surrender. And Father, for those that are in this room that are melting under the stress and fear, let them give it to you and in your hands find peace. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Will you come as we sing?